Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 22nd of May, recording at 9:30 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, the highlights in Asian stock markets. Mostly steady here today. Another new high by the China A-shares. But the big story was really an explosive upward dynamic by the Japanese banks index. That is very important, I believe. Topix was also quite firm overall. So, well, more on that in a moment. And European markets mixed. FTSE down 30 in here today. Spain down. Switzerland down. Wall Street, very quiet end to the day. The Dow had been up 30-something points at one stage, but closed down 3. S&P down a point. The NASDAQ was up 9. That's been firmer in the last couple of days. And this was certainly not one of those days when people could fret over the fact that all asset classes were rising simultaneously on a tide of liquidity, because the commodities were pretty well all down in here today. I think the exception was lead, and precious metals were quite soft. Platinum, that's fallen back rather sharply from the high, down 32. But gold down another 430, and silver hovering right around the $13 level, down 13. That's the July contract. Crude oil also down 125. That had quite a strong day yesterday. It's currently trading at 65.62. That dollar technical rally carried on a little further here today. Just looking for that. Yes, the dollar index is up, although off its highs. And I see palladium was up on the day as well. That was the other commodity that was up on the day of the ones that I looked at. And crude oil bonds, what about bonds? The bond prices are easier except for UK gilts. The Treasury, that's the July Treasury futures, they're down half a point in here. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets are pretty firm overall. Some of them are a bit overextended, as you know, relative to their 200-day moving averages. Most of them, though, are not really seriously overextended. Now, what do we make of it all? That suggests to me that the bull run here is still very much intact. And I maintain what I've been saying for several months now, that downside risk, I think I've been saying it pretty well all year, started in December actually, saying that downside risk I felt was limited to somewhat larger reactions and or longer ranging periods. And I think it's more of the longer ranging periods that I've been focusing on following the sharp end February, early March downward correction. Now, there are some quite significant moves. First, the China A shares, which had been ranging for a number of days, broke up out of that range in here today. They would have to fall back into it now, fall back in beyond the midpoint of it, to show an overall loss of momentum. That is interesting, potentially reaffirming the overall upward trend, that new high. And the Japanese situation, I think, could really be quite important, because there are no compelling reasons why Japan should be underperforming other stock markets. But, you know, the old global beauty contest situation, and Japan's been a wallflower, and really, I think, since last December, at least. And a point that I have often made is that the people who normally by Japan have been buying China, and the Japanese have been buying, well, New Zealand, Australia, India. So what's going to change? Well, sooner or later, Japan becomes conspicuous by the fact that it has lagged so much, and you get a bit of a catch-up move. Now, one swallow does not a summer make, but the upper dynamic, as to say, on the Japanese banks index was really quite powerful, and the topics move was also impressive. Now, how to actually play it? And I've mentioned this before, and I might do a little feature on this tomorrow or on Wednesday. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Tomorrow or on Thursday. I've got an AGM and a board meeting tomorrow, so that might cut into my output. They usually do because they tend to roll or drag on. Getting back to Japan. When you've had a market that's been in a long trading range and then it starts to improve, you will go into the market proper, which of course you can do in the library, and you will see some companies that have already broken up out of their long trading ranges, and a lot of investors think, oh, well, that's already bolted, and let me find something that's still quite cheap, lagging, in other words, in the market. And that's usually a big mistake because the shares that break out of a long trading range ahead of the index usually go on and get by far the best overall performers. If you want to see one of those, look at Toshiba, which I posted in another context in here in today's comment. So those of you who are Japanophiles rather than Japanophobes and wish to increase investments in that area and are share pickers, go in and look at the shares that have clearly shown relative strength by breaking up out of that broad trading range ahead of the indices, which have yet to break up out of those broad trading ranges. And there should be a lot more to go for in those shares. Now, they will almost always be large cap companies. And that's hardly surprising. We've seen the large cap companies leading the way in many other stock markets in recent months. And I noticed another one that was in that category, Sony. I mean, Sony has been such a problem company for such a long time, but it's performing very well right now. In terms of other markets, did I mention I think that India's Nifty 50 hit another new high in here today? It's shown some impressive technical action recently, and so is Thailand. Now, there are some big question marks remaining over Thailand. They do need to get this constitutional issue right and to keep the election more or less on schedule. But if they are able to do that, and we can't take anything for granted with politicians, and particularly makeshift politicians from the military, but if they can get that right, then Thailand really should have some pretty good catch-up potential overall. So, moving on, government bonds. Right now, they're possibly well, they're not a headwind for equities at this stage. I was going to say they're possibly a tailwind still, but we're running out of tailwind territory gradually, and then they'll be neutral for a while. The problem I'm anticipating and concerned about is that at some point out there, I do think that we will see and significantly higher long-dated government bond yields, and that will cause problems for global stock markets. It'll cause problems for central banks, and that may well trigger an eventual bear market. Now, I've long said that I've felt that the, in my guess, on the timing of the next bear market was that 2009, 2010 at the earliest. But that could change because there's some key variables here. For instance, if we get surging commodity price inflation, we've certainly seen the firming of a number of commodities, but some of those are off lows. Cotton has risen dramatically in the last few days, but it had taken a huge beating. So this is just coming off a low. Sure, just coming off off a low. And the U.S. sugar contract, which is an important one, is kind of only one day off a low. So a lot of these markets were depressed. And the grains and beans, while they've gotten a lot of attention, are essentially still in ranging patterns after their strength that we saw late last year. But if we do get some of the other commodities are of course stronger, the dairy sector, for instance. But if we get explosive upside moves due to this combination of low stockpiles, increasing demand, and some production problems, and then that will certainly bring the inflationary pressures to a head. Or it'll intensify them, I should say. Okay, but that's not the problem that we face today. Today we still have commodity prices that are rising, but not to crisis mentality levels. Still well off crisis mentality levels. And crude oil, the most important of all, well, it ain't cheap, is it? Here we see 65, 62. That's down 125 today on the NYMEX crude, and the Brent crude is, I believe, is over 70, right around the 70 level. And gasoline prices have been awfully high, although they're coming down. I see they're down 9.44 in here today, so that looks like they've boiled over in the short term. And gold prices will not be troubling the central bankers in here at these levels. Interesting, see the sentiment deteriorating as far as gold is concerned. I regard that as a contrary indicator. Overall, people have been drifting away from ETFs. Well, that's understandable because lots of other things have been performing. And again, we're back to that international beauty contest. I think gold's cheap at these levels, but until I see some clear upward dynamics, I can't say that this current reaction is over. But it is looking a little bit oversold. But it'll drift until something sparks a turn. I wouldn't be that surprised if that occurs any day, but it's not there yet, is the more important point. And I'm disappointed to see platinum fall back. Because platinum was poised for an upward break but couldn't do it, so it's got to regroup around these levels and try again. Okay, I think that's pretty much it. So all the best to all of you. Oh, one last thing to mention. I am taking some holiday. I'll be away on Friday, and I'll be away next week. Mrs. Fuller and I will be cycling to and from the Hay-on-Wye Book Festival, which we sometimes do. So just letting you know in advance, my last day here in the office then will be on Thursday. Of course, Owen will be carrying on Friday and throughout next week. Meanwhile, all the best.